Mate, McGain, and Summer Breakfast.
Lots still to come on the show this morning. We're going to chat a little bit to Andy Murray later on. Alicia Molik to join us as well just before 8 o'clock. Sam Harper from the Melbourne Renegades and Adam Peacock from Fox Sports ahead of the Socceroos Crunch Game in the Asian Cup tonight. Don't think I'll quite make that one, Bryce. 12:30 a.m. kickoff. I'm going to have to get up and watch the highlights, I reckon.
No, it's tough for us up at 4 after that. That could be a bit much of a stretch.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Now, though, Craig Gabriel joins us to run through everything that happened yesterday at the Australian Open, and we'll have a bit of a look today. Craig, good morning.
I want fanfare. Did I or did I not predict Maria Sakkari over Yelena Ostapenko?
You sure did.
Where are the trumpets? Where are the drums?
We've got the marching band warming up out there for your
exit. By the way, morning.
Yeah, good morning, Craig. Terrific. If you keep rolling those in, this will be the most tuned in show, I reckon. Exactly. If you keep getting upsets like that happening through the 2 weeks of the Australian Open, you will be a hero.
Did you see it coming in with Ostapenko that she was a little lackluster in terms of her form?
But even, yes, and even with Sydney, I said that Ash would beat her, would beat whoever she was playing in the first round in Sydney, I can't remember, but, oh no, it was Ostapenko, and then the next one was Elise Mertens and Simona. Yep. So, I'm not often on a roll like that. It's very rare.
It really is. Yeah.
I'm a shocker on predictions.
Now, let's start with Bernard Tomic.
Okay.
Because this was the news from last night. I think it was a relatively quiet day. It was a really celebratory day for
you
the Australians.
You might think it was quiet.
Well, for the Australians, I mean, we had a lot get through, which was fantastic, and there wasn't any controversy through the day until Bernie spoke at his press conference after his straight sets loss yesterday. If you haven't heard what he had to say, take a listen.
It's all latent. I mean, I'm going to say honestly, no one likes him anymore. He's just doing, you know, he's doing the wrong thing, and he's playing Davis. I thought he's retired. He's playing all these matches and stuff like this, and you know what I mean? I did a little bit of work with him a couple of years ago, and just, you know, he used to hate Tennis Australia. It's weird, and now he loves them. So, what's happened here?
Just a follow-up to that.
But I guess he's using them for other things and resources and... Yep.
You mentioned...
And it's for his paycheck, yep. Keep going.
Other Australian players feel similar...
Yeah, absolutely. Kokkinakis, Kyrgios, we don't want to play anymore because he's ruined the system. I mean, go away, like, literally. If he's retired, like, why are you still in tennis, you know? Why do you still play these doubles tournaments and stuff, and why do you... It's funny, all these guys that got wild cards are under a system, like, I think Bolte and these guys, Polmans, they're all under these wings, so he gets a percentage of that, so that's conflicts of interest. I think that's terrible. Isn't that right or wrong?
With management company?
Yeah, Polmans, Bolte, who else we got? Jordan Thompson, they're all under Leighton's wing, under the management company, so it's all conflict of interest. The more they get here into main draws, the more he takes, so... Basically, you know what he's doing. I think it's wrong. It's wrong if he's using the system of Tennis Australia because... And then he's in Davis Cup and he's doing the wrong thing and everyone's leaving. You know, even guys, we don't want to play anymore. It's like this. So I hope he can get moved and we can go back to having a good captain.
Whack. Bernard Tomic last night after his straight sets loss to Marin Cilic. But obviously a lot of the talking point was on Leighton Hewitt. Craig, what did you make of those comments, first of all? Was it a surprise?
No, it's not a surprise. They've had a fractured relationship now for a little while. And you know, we know that there's an issue with Thanasi and Hewitt. And you know, Nick wasn't happy just recently as well. So, I don't know all the absolute inner details and things like that, but things are a little bit unsettled at the moment.
Is it a conflict that he is managing people as much as being the Davis Cup captain? He gets resources from Tennis Australia, and I guess Bernie's pointing out that his players are getting these wild cards granted into the event. Is that a conflict?
Tennis is a conflict.
Yep.
As a whole, he's not unique. If that is the case, tennis itself management companies, players, sponsors, whatever. It's a conflict from go to woe in tennis. I mean, it's like a management company who manages players, gets them sponsors, is also maybe managing a tournament, and then maybe has the TV production company working with them as well. So it's not that, you know, if he's pointing the finger at Hewitt here, it's not that as if Hewitt is unique in that. There's conflicts across the board in tennis.
We saw that even recently with the new tournament that they want to bring in, sort of Davis Cup style, with Gerard Piqué, who's the...
Cosmos,
who's plays over in for Real Madrid and Barcelona, and has done for many years. He's really good mates with Rafael Nadal. Mm-hmm. Now we saw Nadal throw his support behind the new revamped tournament, and funnily enough, Gerard Piqué, who he's good mates with, owns a bit of the promotion company and television rights. Then obviously he wants to make a bit of money out of it.
So yeah, I mean Novak,
you are right.
Novak is also pretty good friends with Piqué.
Yep.
Piqué was in Shanghai last October, and he sat down and met with Novak about the new Davis Cup format and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. No. So I think there are conflicts everywhere. But does it bring to? Is this an issue that's been bubbling along for a little while, and we're only seeing it now come to the surface? Because Kokkinakis was quite revealing, and there's almost that. Almost the Victorian mentality of stick it right up you that he got into the tournament in the first place. And then we've obviously had our troubles with Tomic and Kyrgios in the past. But has this been around for a while and we're only seeing it now surface?
Yeah, it has been around. And the other guys have essentially stayed, I think, have kept a lid on things. Bernie just went after it last night.
Do you think that that's his last opportunity because he's out of the tournament now, out in the first round, so he just wanted to throw it all out there and let it happen?
It wasn't something that he brought up. The question was put to him with his form, would he reconsider playing Davis Cup in 2019? That's what started the whole thing. Mm. That's what got it rolling. That's opened up the Pandora's box.
Yeah. There'll be more to play out, no doubt. I'm sure Leighton Hewitt will be asked about it in the next day or so, and I'll be fascinated to see his response.
But you know what, Andrew? In one of the aspects, and I'm Bernie, I know, flies off the handle on occasions, and I will also say I've known Bernie since he was 12 years old, and I like Bernie, I like Nick, like Thanasi all very much. But the question he threw up, which I thought was, he was supposed to have retired.
Mm.
Why are you playing? And that's a question a lot of people have asked. I was amused, actually, not that long ago when Hewitt said he was going to put his hand up for doubles in Davis Cup for the first round tie that's being played in Adelaide. Well, you're the captain. Who are you going to put your hand up to? Yourself?
Yeah. Well, speaking of conflicts, that's one right there. So
there's nothing wrong with being a playing captain.
Yeah.
That's happened before. It'll happen again. There's no issue with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, he has retired. He's been out of the game. But, you know, he's saying that he's questioning the fact, well, if he's retired, why is he playing doubles? On the other side, the way you can also look at that is that he's giving these young kids an opportunity of his experience on a tennis court.
Mm.
And that's very positive. You can look at it two ways.
I'm sure we'll get a response from Leighton in the next day or so.
Well, there could be one from Tennis Australia as well.
Yeah. I think that's important. Tennis Australia certainly need to get on the front foot here. They can't just sit away and say nothing. They've got to get on the front foot and really make it very clear as to what they stand for and what they agree to.
Yeah, but at the same time, Tennis Australia may look at this and say, we're not going to throw petrol on the fire again and continue to ignite the whole thing.
Yeah. Today's response will be very interesting, whether we get one or not from both parties.
Sorry, Andrew. It's going to be where it's going to come up is when Nick comes into his post match after playing Milos Raonic tonight.
Yes, no doubt it'll get that'll be compulsory viewing after the game. That's for sure. Alex Diminor cruised through yesterday. Yep. I thought he played really well. Very solid. Only lost his serve on the way to victory in that third set with a little bit of a stumble, but had a double break anyway, so it didn't matter too much. What did you make of his win?
Solid.
He won like a seed should, didn't he?
Yeah, it was solid stuff, and I think I suggested there may be a little bit of minor hiccups for him and for Ash Barty coming in after Sydney's success and just getting acclimatized to the things over here. But he was solid throughout, and he had a great time, and he was like at the end. I loved his face. It was just like a massive Luna Park grin on his face from ear to ear, which was just great. He's got Henry Laaksonen next. Yeah, so he's playing solid tennis.
Now, Alex de Minaur, I think we're getting to know a little bit better as well. He's opening up in even his on-court interview after the match yesterday. It was great to see him open up. He lightened up as well. So I think we're really getting to know him maybe more than we know Tomic and Kyrgios already. So I thought it was fantastic.
He's feeling more comfortable in the whole situation. Yeah. And in fact, even he was asked at his post-match media conference about getting more in tune with this lifestyle. And, you know, I think it was put to him, and I'm paraphrasing, about, you know, you're getting used to the situation on court and with training and things like that. Are you now used to post-match media conferences? So he explained about that. And I know that he is getting more comfortable, because in November last year, when I was in London for the ATP Finals, they had the ATP University for all the young players, which it's compulsory to attend. And one of the things he raised was dealing with the media. And I said, well, what were you taught? He says, how to respond to questions. And he said he enjoyed it. He really liked that university. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you go, Bryce.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's good when you get the personnel out of these young players coming out. Moving along, John Millman performed exceptionally well as well.
Absolutely.
Straight sets. He dropped the second set.
Playing Federica Del Bonis. And look, some of the Argentine media have told me in the past that the Argentine players don't like playing John Millman. I adore John. He's such a down-to-earth, easy guy, you know. But on the court, he is so in your face.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of the Argentine players don't really like. And it showed yesterday. But I think he's pretty friendly with Del Bonis. But what I really liked about Mills yesterday was the amount of time he spent with the fans after the match. He was like, I think, 20, 30 minutes with them. And I put that to him afterwards. I said, you seem to really be having a nice time. He was signing a stack of autographs. He was taking their phones and taking selfies with the people. Took a gulp out of somebody's drink. You know? So he's just such a good guy.
Yeah, great to see him win and back up that form from last year. Looks like he started on a bright note in 2019 as well. Jordan Thompson, we spoke about him yesterday. Nice to see him get through against Lopez, who can be a difficult opponent. And maybe this is the start of a fresh year for him, where he can maybe get to that top 40 or 50 that we'd hoped.
Absolutely. I mean, he was going in the right direction, and then things like tonsillitis and illness and whatnot kept setting him back. He went down to the next level on the tour and played the Challenger circuit, got the runs on the board, was the player with the second biggest number of match wins on the Challenger circuit in the circuit's history. So he's got himself back into the top 80, top 70, sort of 75, and hopefully he can really kick on. He did well in Sydney, and hopefully over here he'll continue.
We're going to get to the girls in just a second as well after the break, but 8 Aussies through on day one of the Australian Open. That's a great record for them. I can't remember the first time we had 8 through really easily on the first day.
We did have 2 playing one each other.
Well, that helps. Yeah, that always helps.
And that was a surprising result, and a very good result with the two young Australian girls, Astra Sharma and Priscilla Hahn. And Sharma came through, who was a qualifier. Hahn got the wild card and was 6-1 in the third. So, that was a good effort.
Did you enjoy Katie Butler yesterday, who went the premature celebration? So this is the first time we had the tiebreak in the third set of a women's match. She went the double fist pump and went, oh, yeah, I've got to get to 10.
Yeah.
which I absolutely loved. But then luckily she closed it out. That would have been a fair embarrassment
absolutely.
If she hadn't got the job
no,
done.
And I've seen that on occasions in the past, and you thought, oh, the poor person. Talk about what looking for a hole to crawl into.
But luckily for her, she was able to close it out and she got through. So, she progresses through to the second round, but that was an entertaining moment yesterday. Plenty to come.
Very English. She probably said, oh, my godfather, really?
On the other side of this, we're going to chat about the Aussie girls who got through yesterday as well. Plus, we'll have a look at what's happening today at the Australian Open with Craig Gabriel, who's sticking around to 7 o'clock this morning.
RSM 927 Summer Breakfast with Andrew Mays and Bryce McGain.
I've loved playing here over the years. It's an amazing place to play tennis. If this was my last match, like you say, amazing way to end. I gave literally everything I had. It wasn't enough tonight, so congratulations to Roberto. I don't know, maybe I'll see you again. I'll do everything possible. if I want to go again, I'll need to have like a big operation, which there's no guarantees I'll be able to come back from anyway, but I'll give it my best shot, and thank you.
Andy Murray there speaking last night after his 5-set loss, came back from 2 sets to love down to even it all up at 2 sets apiece. Couldn't close things out against the number 22 seed, Bautista Agut. It was an incredible night of drama. I was glued to the TV. A fantastic match, Craig, but almost fitting in the end that it was his injury that prevented him from closing it out and winning. You saw him really struggle in that 5th set. I was saying to Bryce before, a lot of tennis players carry niggles, but you could
most
see
of
he
it,
was
yeah.
yeah, he was clearly hampered by that injury, and he spoke about the operation he'd have to have there, and I don't think we'll see Andy Murray again, do you?
Look, I think it's going to be doubtful. He hopes that this operation may just be able to get him over the line to play Wimbledon one last time. I mean, there were moments when he was using his racket as a crutch.
Mm.
He was in a fair amount of discomfort in that match. And look, his mum and his brother, Jamie, were sitting side by side watching the entire match. And normally, Andy doesn't watch Jamie's doubles matches because of nerves and things like that. But it sounded like his voice was cracking a bit when he was speaking. It struck me when you said, I don't know when or where, but I'm thinking like, maybe they should have cued Vera Lynn, don't know where, we'll meet again. it's very sad. It really is, because he was an absolute trooper. He just gave everything he had. John Bartlett, a former player and somebody I know quite well, tweeted this morning. He said, what was a big issue last night was his difficulty in change of direction. And it's so true, because if you watch tapes of Andy Murray, he was so remarkable on changing direction in the middle of a match.
Where will he go down in history? How will tennis look back at Andy Murray? Because obviously we've got this amazing era with Federer, Djokovic and Nadal, but where will we remember, or how will we remember Andy Murray's career in, say, 10 years looking back from now?
No doubt the greatest player ever to come from Great Britain. No question about that. And I don't believe it is the top three in Andy Murray. It is the Fab Four. And even with the rules changes for induction into the Tennis Hall of Fame, he will get in. He was world number one. He won 3 majors. He was a 5-time Australian Open finalist. He won the year-end championship. He'd steered Great Britain to the Davis Cup championship. So his place in tennis history is secure. He'll be remembered as a competitor, somebody who came across with a dour personality, but those who knew him and saw him a lot more often would also say great sense of humour.
What about his relationship with the Australian Open?
Yeah.
Five-time finalist. And wasn't able to get over the line, but he's got this great affinity with the Australian public.
Yeah,
as
absolutely.
You saw last night, the reception for him, it was the ended up being the final game of the match, but the reception
was huge.
Unbelievable. They actually had to stop the game.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is the public appreciating how much he gave. I remember Ivan Lendl was in that sort of a situation with all those US Open finals, and finally he broke through and got on a roll. And he was also so instrumental in turning things around for Andy Murray when the two of them were working together on two occasions. Yeah, and I think they appreciate what a player gives, and when somebody like Andy Murray is around and what he gives and how much passion and desire and all that he has for the sport, and not just men's tennis but women's tennis, the whole sport of tennis, and that's what's wonderful.
What about Ash Barty yesterday? Really solid in her performance, backing up from Sydney, because there were not questions over how she'd go, but we were just waiting to see how her and Alex de Minaur would adjust, and she did well yesterday, straight sets of victory through to the second round.
Just one more thing on Andy, because John Millman will be playing Roberto Bautista Agut in the next round, and I asked John about his thoughts of Andy, if it was going to be Andy, and he said he was always so kind and so good to me, and it was only in Brisbane that the two of them practiced together, so he said he'd be missed big time. But to the question, Andrew, as far as Ash is concerned, she played solidly. She was down love two, again, just getting into a situation, into a rhythm, and then reeled off seven consecutive games and closed it, Kumkum out 6-2, 6-2. So solid, yeah, she was happy.
No, I was very impressed with how she went, especially fighting back from being two love down. A couple of the other winners, we spoke to Kimberly Birrell a couple of weeks ago after she got the wild card. Great to see her win yesterday, so through to a second round, and also Zoe Hives beat Bethany Maddox-Sands, which was
a bit of
an upset. As well. So those two, what does this do for their career, not only in terms of 2019, but setting them up beyond? Because this year, it sort of gives them a base, doesn't it, to start with, in terms of prize money and getting around the WTA Tour for the next couple of months at least.
It's the prize money for them at the moment, because they're still on the very lower levels of the sport. I think maybe even playing some of the equivalent of futures events, which is next to nothing on prize money. Mm. So that should help them in that regard. Now they've got to take that next step. Now they've got to get that consistency and work even harder, put even more effort in, work on the mind aspects of their game, because that is so vital at this level of the sport. But I really did like the way Zoe Hives played against Bethany Maddox-Sands, who's such an experienced player. So that was impressive. And look, Birrell's been around a little bit. She's still very young. And we want to see them kick on. Let's not expect them, because they've had first round wins at the Australian Open, that they're going to tear up the courts every time they walk on.
No, I don't think there's that expectation.
Three girls in action today. We've got Destiny early on in the day, Daria Gavrilova as well, and also Sam Stosur. The good chances for all three girls, really. Four girls. I missed one?
Alia Tomljanovic
as
well.
Of course.
Yep, she's also on. She's on early against Johanna Konta.
Yep.
Would absolutely love to see Alia win that match, and she's got the capability of doing it. Destiny Ayeva against Madison Keys, I can't see her getting through that. Mm-hmm. And it's the big court. It's Rod Laver Arena. Keys more experienced with that. Gavrilova, I do not know Tamara Zidancic of Slovenia. I don't know her at all. I hope Daria can get through that.
Her form's been a bit dicey of late.
Yes, exactly. She's missed out on a seeding. Mm. Fortunately, she's got somebody who she should beat, we should be expected to beat, and didn't run into one of the big seeds or anything like that. So fingers crossed on Daria. Samantha Stosur against Diana Yastremska, Ukraine. Well, she's ranked, I think, in the top 60. Not well known at all, but this is sort of match that Sam could flop in.
Mm.
Hopefully not. You know.
I want to ask about the 2Ks. Kokkinakis and Kyrgios also played today. Tough challenge for Nick Kyrgios coming up against Milos Raonic. So it's
tough
going to
for
be
him too.
Yeah, it is unpredictable as well. What can we expect, or should we just expect the unexpected as we always do?
Well, I'll give you a point. watch out for the serves, because if you blink, you're going to miss them. That match is going to be dominated by serves. There's no two ways about it. They've played six times. It's 3-3 on the head-to-head. But they haven't played for a couple of years. And the only time they played on hard court, Kyrgios won. So fingers crossed, continue with that. Cocky against Taro Daniel. Daniel beat Novak Djokovic in Indian Wells last year. So he's a handy player. He's capable. But gosh, Kokkinakis, keep going. I mean, through the qualifying, he didn't get a wild card. He was really disappointed about that, but made the point, I'm going to make the main draw on my own steam. And he did it superbly, beating Peter Polanski in the final round of quali. So love to see Cocky win, and I think he should.
Well, that'll be good. That'll be very good. And we've got to look out for Simona Halep later on as well. Your tip.
Yeah.
Can you go 2 from 2?
You're missing two more Australians before we get on to Simo. Alex Bolt up against Jack Sock. And Alexei Popirin, who's a young Australian, was in the Junior Davis Cup team with Alex Diminor.
Yep.
Lost to Diminor in Sydney. Solid player, tall, strong, French Open junior winner. And he's got Misha Zverev, Sasha's elder brother. So those are the other two Australians. But getting back to Simo, night match against Kaya Kanepi. Not on Rod Laver, on Margaret Court. I was maybe a bit surprised by that. I'm not sure if I would have. I can understand why they put Destiny Ayeva out there being an Australian, but I think Simo and Halep, Halep and Kanepi is a bigger issue.
Yep.
But still, Margaret Court, great arena. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's an upset.
Here we go. Could you
would
go 2 from 2? Looking forward to tuning into that later on tonight. Craig, always great to have you. We'll see you tomorrow after another big day for the Australians. Hopefully a couple more can join the 8 that got through round 1 yesterday. Thanks for your time again.
Okay.
No early mail this morning as well, in case you're wondering. We haven't missed it. The races are off at the Yarra Valley. So no early mail this morning. It will return tomorrow, though, hopefully with some cooler temperatures. 41 degrees today.